We celebrate today the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead. And when we think about this and the meaning of it, and perhaps especially if we as children asked what it meant, or if our children now ask us, what does it mean that Christ ascends? There are different answers that might be given. We might say, well, Christ left, he went away. Or we might say, he went back home. Or we might say, he had accomplished what he came to do, and now it was time for him to rest. These are things that might be told to children and might satisfy them because they can easily grasp the meaning of what happens when we human beings do these things. But as adults, we need to go a little deeper. In each of these three things, there is a grain of truth, and yet if we only say that, then we're oversimplifying and actually being led into error. So let's go beyond and fill out these initial explanations so often given to children and understand better what Christ's ascension means and what it means for us now. To consider first the explanation, he was going back home. Well, Christ from all eternity had been God the Son, had been with the Father. And to be sure, in a sense, in the fullest sense, he was returning again to the side of the Father. But we need to fill that out. It wasn't simply that he was returning home, it was that he was leading us home also. We remember that he told his disciples earlier at the Last Supper, I will go and prepare a place for you. Let's take this from the perspective of God the Father and from eternity. God the Father had sent God the Son out on a mission of salvation for the human race and for the universe, had sent him out, and he had carried out phase after phase, first taking on human nature, joining it to his divine nature in himself, being born as Jesus Christ, growing up among us, and then beginning his public ministry, traveling, reaching out, teaching, healing, calling, training up his disciples to form his church. And then those essential actions that we were remembering several weeks ago, as he gave his life upon the cross, and then as he rose from the dead, beginning the resurrection. All of this he had accomplished. And now he continued blazing that path, returning to the Father. The Father's only begotten Son returning to him, but not returning alone. Leading with him and behind him, a multitude of adopted sons and daughters, his saints whom he had redeemed, and thus as he had multiplied the sons and daughters to give joy to God the Father. Christ is the head of the body, and we are members. And in the ascension, Christ began that return, as it were, the head arriving first, and in the 2,000 years since then, thousands and millions of our brothers and sisters, the saints, arriving after him. And we too, on our way, each day, as we continue that journey toward the Father, in each of our actions, as we say yes to Christ, yes to goodness, and no to sin. The same thing from the perspective of the Father perhaps matches up with what we were hearing in the letter to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews draws an analogy between Christ and something that was in the sacrificial system of the Old Covenant, where once a year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest himself would enter into the sanctuary, going deep in, into the room called the Holy of Holies, and bring in the sacrifice of the blood of a bull and goats, and there make a special reconciliation in the relationship between God and his people. The letter of the Hebrews thinks of that and points out that Christ is the eternal high priest, perfect God and man in himself, that he brings a perfect sacrifice himself of infinite worth, and that he entered into not a building, a symbol of the presence of God, a copy on this earth, but into heaven itself. And so in the ascension, we see our eternal high priest bringing himself, the eternal sacrifice, deeply into heaven and restoring that relationship with the Father. That from the Father's side is the fact that he brings the lost sheep, now made his own adopted sons and daughters. As we think of that, we may do well to think of St. Paul's words to the Colossians, which we heard back on Easter Sunday. If you have been raised up with Christ, then think of heavenly things where he is, not only of what is below. The earthly parts of our lives are important as we think of many things about ourselves, our families, work, school, our society, our world. These are important, and yet we also need to put our mind on things above. Of our relationship with God, and of what Christ is doing, of what he wants to tell us, and what he wants us to do. Because he has led us, he is leading us home. The second thing that sometimes gets told to children might be that he finished what he came to do, and he went to rest. Well, again, there's a grain of truth to that. We've considered those phases of the mission which he had carried out, and to ascend to the Father was to carry out a new phase. But the project of salvation goes on. There are still a couple more phases to go. In ascending to the Father, Christ was ascending to his throne, fulfilling what the prophet Daniel saw, that one like the Son of Man, to him would be given dominion and power and kingship, and his throne would be above all dominions. Christ took his throne in heaven. He sat down. But a king does not sit down on his throne to rest. He sits down to rule, to carry out the work of his kingship. And so it was that Christ, as head of the body, took his place on the throne in heaven over the whole universe in order to direct the growth of that kingdom. We heard the apostles ask him, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom?" And perhaps, as so often, his answer was, though he doesn't say it exactly, "Yes, but in a different way than you have in mind." How was he going to carry out the restoration and the expansion of his kingdom? Well, he then told his apostles, as he was enthroned in heaven, "You will be expanding the kingdom. You will be my witnesses." Where? Starting in Jerusalem, King David's capital, and then into Judea, King David's tribe, and then into Samaria, the rest of King David's nation, and then to the ends of the earth. And this is how the kingdom will expand, not with soldiers and armies, but with witnesses. "You," he says to the apostles, "you who have seen me and known me, know who I am, have seen me raised from the dead, you will go and testify and tell others. And so my kingdom will expand." And so it is that that goes not just to the apostles standing there that day, but to us. Christ is on his throne, and we each day have the chance, following his direction, to expand his kingdom as we tell others and share with them Jesus Christ that we know, Jesus Christ who is with us. And that brings us to the third thing, that sometimes we might tell children that in his ascension, Jesus left. He went away. He's not with us anymore. But Jesus told us, "I am with you until the very end of the age." He is with us everywhere in his divinity, his divine nature. He's with us in the Eucharist, in the Mass, in his human nature. To be sure, during this period, we do not see him in his own appearance, but he is with us, body and blood, soul and divinity. And so it is that the Ascension is a feast of hope and of promise. For as Christ has restored that relationship with the Father, as he is carrying his kingship forward, we look toward the final fulfillment of his promise in the new heavens and the new earth. We experience now what he promised the apostles, that power would be given them from on high as he would send the Holy Spirit. And this we celebrate next week. Christ, right before he ascended, said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."